Hi, this is Sarah Wilson, the Associate Site Editor for the Storage Media Group. Today I'm here with John Twigo. John is the Managing Principal Partner for Twigo Partners International and a frequent contributor to TechTarget. Today he's here to discuss all things big data. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Sarah?
Good, thanks for being here. How do you think the storage market is evolving to better accommodate big data?
Well, I think you're seeing two different trends here. One is as long as Hadoop is sort of joined at the hip to the concept of big data, and we're talking about Hadoop-style clustering, the industry is basically dissing shared storage at this point, SANs and NAS, and preferring direct attached storage, particularly direct attached storage that uses flash. IBM has gone up on stage, the director of their storage group, and they've specifically said we see flash as the future of everything. So they're trying to push flash-based storage direct attached to cluster units as the modality for storing data that will be used in big data analytics. I don't know that that's the best approach to do this stuff, and I think we're going to find out we're going to spend a ton of money on it. It sets the clock back to pre-1999 in terms of storage architecture, and it reintroduces issues that we had two decades ago and apparently have forgotten about regarding how you protect data in a world of isolated islands of storage. You're going to have to have a whole lot of replication going on from one node to another in order to, and how much bandwidth is that going to utilize in order to provide protection to little isolated storage components. It does, however, sell more gear, which is something that the industry, of course, would like to see given the general trends towards slowing and storage sales during down economic times right now. The other side of the house is trying to look at this from a holistic perspective. They're saying, okay, we spent the last 10 years deploying shared storage, deploying fiber channel fabrics and that sort of thing. We have the potential to grow that technology going forward in significant directions, whether it's using InfiniBand or SAS or whatever the next generation interconnect is going to be, but maybe some iWARP, which allows rapid replication of the contents of memory-based storage. But why would we want to aggregate all our stuff for 10 years and then segregate it again? It doesn't make any sense. So you look at companies like a DataCore software or, to a certain extent, IBM with SAN Volume Controller and a few others who are trying to virtualize that storage infrastructure so they can present virtual shares or virtual volumes up to these servers that pretend or behave as though they're direct attached storage for those servers. That makes a heck of a lot more sense. It also gives me the ability to manage holistically all the infrastructure that's associated with storage. And I think a lot more work needs to be done in that space rather than segregating all the storage and doing a bunch of direct attachment on a bunch of servers. And I think we're eventually going to get to that latter model.
Cloud seems to be gaining popularity in big data environments too. Do you think that cloud providers are adapting their services to work better with large volumes of data?
You know, I have a mixed mind as far as clouds go. I'm not a big advocate of cloud technology generally, at least not the public variety. However, I did think that maybe one of the better models for cloud going forward, the sustainable business model for cloud, would be cloud specialized in holding huge repositories of certain kinds of data. But anyway, I asked experts about this. And, again, Jeff Jonas at IBM, I asked him, would it make sense for a cloud service provider to maybe stand up data so that I don't have to buy the infrastructure myself? And I thought that that might make sense if companies don't want to spend big bucks on the infrastructure to support Hadoop for a business analysis project that maybe is only going to be used once or very infrequently, like voter registration analysis or something. Why would you want to stand up a multi-million-dollar infrastructure to analyze one aspect of data, and then you're going to basically turn it off? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. He didn't think much of that idea, though, and I was kind of scratching my head about that, but he explained his view. He said that, look, the amount of time it takes to position data in a cloud and then the bandwidth that you have to pay for access to the data in the cloud, and then the additional security issues and resiliency issues associated with data in the cloud, and many other aspects of cloud operations would make that not necessarily the best place to host. Now, I think that assuming that some of these problems can be worked out, and it's a big assumption, you might find a cloud provider that says, look, we have we handle all the data for the National Institutes of Health. So we have all the treatment data on oncology for cancer treatments. We've properly taken out all references to the patients themselves, but the original data is all here. Now, if Johns Hopkins wants to run a big data analysis on a new drug trial that they're doing, they should be able to, as a service, plug into that data set and include it in their analytical model. And that would make sense, because then you've got multiple customers have need of that kind of data, okay? Would I put my own data up in a cloud? Probably not. I don't today, and I wouldn't going forward, because basically a cloud service provider is hampered by the fact that he doesn't own the network that provides the connectivity between my shop and his shop, okay? So how can he, with a straight face, promise me a service level if he doesn't control the mechanism by which I access his service? Okay, if my phone system goes up and down, you know, several times a month, which it does here in Florida during hurricane season, okay, it doesn't matter if I've got a super stable cloud service or not, I'm not going to be able to access it. Okay, so I don't understand why I believe anything a cloud service provider tells me about his promises of service levels. Secondly, I'd have a serious problem believing that my information is secure if it goes to a cloud. Now, that may not be a big issue if I've done some sort of one-way hashing like Jonas was talking about, and you know, I've depersonalized all the data that's up there and I don't have anything to worry about. But for my business processes that are mission critical and business transactions, which may have financial information or customer information, whatever, I'm sure as heck not going to put it up there. Bottom line, I got issues with cloud. I'm not sure that is everything that it's made out to be. Also, you know, the numbers on cloud seem to be kind of silly. I read an article not long ago that said a 340x% increase in cloud adoption. It was 19 people they interviewed in the survey.
How is big data affecting backup and disaster recovery methods?
Again, I will say that if you follow the Hadoop model, which is basically to break up your shared storage and deploy it on individual nodes and direct attached storage modalities, you run into huge, huge problems now in how you're going to replicate and safeguard that data. Okay, that is a major issue. We're already encountering it in shops that have adopted VMware, because VMware doesn't perform well at all with traditional shared storage modalities. What you have to do is, or what VMware is asking you to do, is break up your SAN and deploy your storage in direct attach configurations right next to each VMware server in the cluster. That it creates an issue where you have to rely on back-end replication and mirroring from one box to another. And the problem with mirrors is nobody ever checks them. It's a pain in the ass to shut a mirror down, quiesce the application, flush the data out of the cache onto the disk, copy that disk over to the secondary mirror, and then shut the whole operation down, do a file-by-file compare, and then cross your fingers and restart everything and pray to God that you don't have a career-limiting event where things won't synchronize again, okay? For that reason, nobody ever checks me. And that is a key Achilles heel of the way big data is architected over Hadoop. Now, I will say using big data analytics to model and monitor expansive storage infrastructure, where I've got a whole lot of information tidbits coming in from things like smart technology on disk and the various element managers off of the you know, various storage components that I've got out there, being able to correlate all that and spot problems in near real time or be proactive, I might actually be able to avoid a lot of disasters. So on the one hand, I like big data from what it could offer from a better disaster avoidance standpoint, giving me better information and management of the infrastructure so I can avoid those kinds of risks. On the other hand, I don't like what Hadoop infrastructure means in terms of complicating my life from the standpoint of data protection.
Okay, well, that wraps up the podcast. So thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, sir.
For more information on big data, make sure to visit searchstorage.com.